Field Ag News.
Hi, this is Kyle Bauer with Plain Talk with the girl who has to go to Washington, D.C. sometime during spring break because it's absolutely worth it to see the blooming of the cherry blossoms.
I would like to see that.
It is awe-inspiring. Yeah. We stumbled onto it by happenstance because we were there during spring break and they were all in full bloom and you know, it didn't seem like anybody else really give a hoot.
Really?
Yeah, we walked around the big reflection pools and you know, and it's just so strong and so beautiful, just so richly beautiful. There's 3,000 cherry trees around this tidal pool. I think it's Roosevelt's tidal pool. Yeah, we were about the only one walking around there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it was kind of interesting, the story on it. It started clear back in the 1880s.
Yeah.
Taft was befriended by an acquaintance of Taft, President Taft, was befriended by a person from Japan. And he always liked these blooming trees. Well, this fella, Skidmore, believed that the cherry blossoms would be the perfect addition to the Barron Parkway that is known down there in the mall and that sort of thing. So after presenting the idea to the U.S. Army superintendent, because that would be the Army Corps of Engineers, they promptly were turned down.
Oh.
And he worked on it for 24 more years trying to get that done. And couldn't get anybody interested in the process at all. And then in 1908, the Skidmore attended an Arbor Day talk from David Fairchild and discovered a kindred spirit. And David Fairchild was a doctor and of the U.S. Department of Agriculture official. And so the guy says, that's a great idea. So they transplanted 100 Japanese cherry trees from Chevy Chase, Maryland, from an estate there to the tidal pool, and they all died.
Oh, that's why I wondered, how did they know the climate would be correct, you know, for those?
And so the pair joined forces in 1909, and a fellow cherry blossom enthusiast was finally in a position of power. Skidmore outlined a plan to purchase cherry trees from the for the Capitol in a letter to the First Lady of Helen Huron Taft, who briefly met in Japan, and it took just 2 days for that to happen, to get the positive movement. The Japanese were glad to be part of it, and they sent over, let's see, in 2010, the trees arrived in Washington, D.C., and they were all had to be destroyed because they were full of insects.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. They were infested with insects and parasitic worms. So in January 28th of 2010, President Taft regretfully gave his consent to destroy the trees.
Destroy more trees.
And undeterred, they proposed an even larger donation, and the second shipment of 3,000 cherry trees arrived in March of 2012, and they did not have insects on them this time, and they were transplanted around the tidal pool, and it went really quite well. And over the years, it has been, you know, a point of awe for people from all over the world. So, but in 1938, a band of 150 society women in furs descended on the Jefferson Memorial construction site. To the astonishment of Civilian Conservation Corps engineers and gardeners, some of the women chained themselves to the cherry trees because they were going to take down five of them for this reconstruction. And a few blocks away at the White House, Franklin Roosevelt was drawn to the ruckus later dubbed the Cherry Tree Rebellion. And the president declared that the trees were going to be transplanted, not cut down. So they had another friend in the White House. Just 3 years later, though, was 1941. And who did we declare war on?
Oh, right.
Japan. Yeah. So it was On the night of December 10th, 1941, 3 days after the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor, four trees were chopped down during a temporary blackout, and it was what was suspected to be a misguided act of retaliation from an unknown offender. And for the duration of World War II, the gifts from Japan were referred to as Oriental cherry trees.
Ah, okay.
Not Japanese cherry trees.
Call them something different.
So there was a lot more history there.
Than what I realized.
The most recent thing that has put them in peril was there was a group of gnawing beavers in 1999, came in, cut down five of the trees.
Really?
One night. They came in clandestinely in the darkness, cut down five cherry trees.
Where would they have come from?
Oh, the Potomac River, the tidal pool does connect. It's not a very, I mean, it's just a little little estuary there. But yeah, they came in and cut down five of the trees.
Huh.
So they had to put some fence around the base of several of the trees. In the meantime, I think they trapped the
beavers and
moved them on to happier hunting grounds. Quite a history. There's now 3,700 of them. And I will tell you, if you're planning a spring trip, a vacation, it's luck if you hit that week.
Yeah.
I mean, but it is
when they're all
just
in bloom.
Crazy how beautiful they are.
I've only been to Washington D.C. once, and it was fall. It was late October, early November when I was there, so I wouldn't have been able to see any of that.
And we didn't even know. We just happened onto it. It isn't really played up all that much among the locals.
Well, probably because it is such a short amount of time.
When they're blooming, it's probably making everyone with any allergy just choke.
There's probably half
the people that are not very happy about it.
But yeah, that'd be something to see, though.
So while you're doing your traveling, you might want to consider not riding on the subways in New York City. They're having some real problems.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Well, I don't know. First of all, we have enjoyed riding the New York subways, and we've never felt unsafe. But recently, about a month ago, there was some hoodlums pushing people out in front of trains. And so then they put 1,000 National Guardsmen down in the stations to guard from that kind of thing. Well, now they say they're going to make everyone go through metal detectors for gun scanners.
Yeah.
But here just a couple in the last week, there was a guy in another town that in a subway, but it wasn't a gun, it was a knife. So it appears that it's a time of unrest in the subways, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
I guess so. I mean, always, I think you have to be well aware of your surroundings and pay attention to what you're doing. And I'm sure there's good times to ride and bad times to ride.
That's probably a good point. And I have not heard about what times of day these things happened or not. We always rode in the, you know, in the main hours.
Right.
And it's just a whole group of people that look like you and me.
Right. That
working people going to work.
Exactly. Something along
right.
that line. But
so, and we never felt unsafe. It was kind of interesting. We had some older guys come on the train and with a saxophone, a trumpet, and I can't recall the third thing, and played
music
for a couple stops and got donations.
And they were
good.
Yeah.
They weren't just panhandlers. They were. And they played, and so it was kind of fun.
Yeah, that would be okay.
So, interesting. But New York City subways are, I think they're an interesting experience, and I'd recommend them. But maybe you need to wait for them to get things settled down.